who are joining us on the web. Hope the transmission will be smooth for you today. You've undoubtedly heard of the songs of ascents. I have four questions for you. Do you know what they are? Do you know where to find them? What, if anything, do they have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? And do you know how you can use them to prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles? Fortunately for you, I'm not going to leave you just with the questions. We hope to tease out some answers as we go along. So question number one, what are the Songs of Ascents? There are a group of 15 psalms specifically referred to in the superscript of the text as Songs of Ascent, or in the Old King James and many other versions that seem to be more tied to the King James Version for their origins, Songs of Degrees. More on this in a moment. Question number two, do you know where to find them? The answer is another question. What's the longest chapter in the Bible? I'm seeing all sorts of things going on out there. Okay, Psalm 119. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. The Songs of Ascent, I've got to keep the S because that's how the text reads, and I keep forgetting to put the S on the end of ascents. But Psalm 119, very next Psalm, 120. And from 120 to 134, those are all titled the Songs of Ascents. Let's go to Psalm 120 because we're going to take a look at that ascent. Remember, I mentioned we were going to touch on this a little bit more. So look at Psalm 120. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, a song of ascents. And every psalm from 120 to 134 has the same superscription right above the text of the psalm. The word ascents is used in the New King James. Degrees are used in the King James, the Darby, the Webster, and the Wycliffe versions of the Bible, among others. But this ascents is from a Hebrew word, ma'alah. Jesenius' Hebrew Chaldee lexicon translates this word as meaning ascent, going up as to a higher region, a step, a lofty place. Now there's a very interesting version, the Bible in Basic English, that uses this phrase for songs of ascent, a song of the going up. I like that phrase. A song of the going up. Question number three, what do the songs of ascents have to do with the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, there's a little bit of controversy over that. Many writers and commentators, especially over the past 200 years or so, state that the Jews sang the songs of ascent as they made the journey from wherever they were in the world. Many of them lived in the Galilee region, and as they would come to the temple, they would sing these songs along the way. Some writers even claim that the songs of ascents were also used for the Passover journey. You recall three times in a year, three seasons, all your males shall appear before me at the place where I choose to place my name. Well, those were two of those. And the interesting thing is to approach Jerusalem from any direction, from the north, from the south. There weren't many opportunities to approach from the south because it was very, very severe desert region, or from the west, from the coast. All required a stringent uphill climb. Jerusalem is in a mountainous region at an elevation over 2,600 feet above sea level. So if you're going to Jerusalem, you are going up in order to get there. While this claim that the songs of ascents were sung on the journey to observe the feast in Jerusalem, it is an appealing idea, and it certainly seems to make a little bit of sense. In actuality, there is no biblical proof or no historical proof for that claim. As some commentators point out, the view that travelers sang them on the journey towards Jerusalem is just speculation. Now, that doesn't mean that people didn't do it. It just means there is no evidence to show that they did it. Now, there is some historical evidence that is reliable that we can count on as to how these songs of ascent were used at the Feast of Tabernacles. And that comes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was prepared and distributed near the end of the second century of the Common Era, or as we used to say in the old days, AD. And it was compiled not long after the time of Jesus. The Mishnah was a compilation of a complex body of oral laws and traditions of the various Jewish rabbis, and they were known as the Oral Torah. Well, oral has a way of changing over time, so these were written down in the aftermath of the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD. The Mishnah mentions songs of ascents in two places. In tractate Maidot, chapter 2, paragraph 5, it states, 15 steps led up within the court of the women, this is referring to the temple, to the court of the Israelites, corresponding to the 15 songs of the steps in the Psalms. And upon them, the Levites used to sing. The second reference in the Mishnah is in tractate Sukkah, chapter 5, paragraph 4. The Levites on harps and on lyres and with cymbals and with trumpets and with other instruments of music without number upon the 15 steps leading down from the court of the Israelites to the women's court, corresponding to the 15 songs of ascents in the Psalms, upon them the Levites used to stand with musical instruments and sing hymns. So there is reliable historical evidence going back almost to the time of Jesus that the Levites used the songs of ascents at the Feast of Tabernacles. But you know, our understanding of the songs of ascents is not constrained by how the Jews did or did not use them nearly 2,000 years ago. Remember the fourth question I posed to you? How can we use the songs of ascents to prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles? Now, there's an interesting observation noted by a number of writers that can show us, essentially point us in a direction of how we can use the songs of ascents to get ready mentally and spiritually for the Feast of Tabernacles. You see, the songs of ascents seem to follow a pattern. They're groupings of three psalms, and it turns into five groupings, each of three psalms, and there's a pattern in how each of those psalms is arranged. The first psalm in each group has a basic theme of distress. The second psalm in each group is themed around trust in God. The third psalm in the group carries the theme of deliverance, blessing, and peace. So let's start digging into the songs of ascents and see how we can use this grouping and this repeating pattern of themes for us to prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go straight to Psalm 120. And we're largely going to remain here in the Psalms for most of this message. So let's just jump in and start reading. Remember, this is the first in the first psalm in the first group of three. So group one, Psalm one, theme of distress. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? Or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom free. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshach, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, But when I speak, they are for war. Now, Meshech refers to a region near the Caspian Sea that was inhabited by nomadic warrior tribes. Kedar was also a sort of an Arabic, Middle Eastern, Mesopotamian region tribe that was also not a worshiper of God. It was pagan. They were very fierce and they were very warlike. So the psalmist is saying, look, I'm suffering from living among these evil people. Now just think, before we leave for the Feast of Tabernacles, here we are living in a nation that's sinking further into a moral cesspool of evil. Do you sometimes feel like you're living among savage and quarrelsome people? Do you feel like the psalmist? Do you need some relief? Do you look forward to God changing your circumstances, even if it's only temporarily, as you long for the coming Feast of Tabernacles? Let's go to the second. Psalm 121. This is the second in the first grouping with the theme of trust. And notice how the theme of trust plays out. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and from evermore. This is a song of praise to God who protects and sustains us as we journey, not only as we journey through life, but as we journey to the Feast of Tabernacles. As you travel toward the Feast of Tabernacles, if you should face difficulties, do you remember the source of your help? As verse 1 says and reminds us, my help comes from the Lord. We can count on God to be watchful for us and to preserve us for his family. Let's go to the next psalm, Psalm 122. We're still in group one, the third psalm. Notice how the theme of blessing, deliverance, and peace plays out. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. This is singing about the joy of people having arrived in Jerusalem and going to worship God. And when we're there at the Feast of Tabernacles, we've made it too. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Where the tribes go to the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Isn't that what we do at the Feast of Tabernacles? For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Notice those themes, how they echo with the peace we feel, the joy, the rejoicing at the Feast of Tabernacles. Notice how it says also, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's do a little substitution there. Let's say, pray for the peace of Orange Beach. Pray for the peace of Myrtle Beach. Pray for the peace of Northern Kentucky. Pray for the peace of Lancaster. Wherever you're going, you can take this idea and apply it to your feast site. Pray for the peace of wherever you will be. And as verse said, because of the house of the Lord of God, I will seek your good. Let's go now to the second group. Group number two, we're up to Psalm 123, where we're reverting back to the theme of distress. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens, Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O God, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Now, I need to explain here, this is not we are contemptuous, because as we'll keep reading, you'll see who has the contempt. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. So yeah, there's contempt, but it's not from us toward others, it's others toward us. And in this psalm, we're praying for God's mercy, because many people don't look favorably on those who would think they need to actually do what God says to do, as we saw in verses 3 and 4. It's clear to whom we look. Verses 1 and 2, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, and we look to God as the hand of a servant to the master. Psalm 124 is our second psalm in group 2. We're to the theme of trust, and let's see how that plays out. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our souls. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us up as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This theme of trust, we trust that when God is on our side, and he is, our ultimate victory is assured. We may still have trials. This is a psalm of David. Notice right below our superscription, a song of ascents of David. Well, David certainly had plenty of his trials, but with God's help, we can escape our trials. Now to Psalm 125, still in group 2, the third psalm in group 2, where the theme of deliverance, blessing, and peace now should appear. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. So again, the idea is, hey, we're in Jerusalem. We're in the destination. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts, and as for those or for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. See, those who trust in God are like Mount Zion. They're like being in Jerusalem. They're established. They're unshakable. They are surrounded by God. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, we get a small reprieve from the trials of our daily lives, and we look to God to keep the wicked away from us, as verses 3 and 5 point out. Keep moving along. We're now to our third grouping of psalms. Third group. Our first song is number 126. Where again, the theme of distress ought to be appearing if the pattern holds true. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things, and we are glad. So this is actually a positive thing. What does that have to do with distress? He did wonderful things, and even the pagan nations recognized the wonderful things that God had done for his people when he brought them back from captivity. Then verse 4, Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And the interesting thing about that, let's bring back our captivity. That's a puzzling phrase. A couple of versions put it this way. Restore our fortunes. That's how the Revised Standard Version and the New International Version put it. And some versions point out in the marginal reference, instead of bring back our captivity, it's bring back our captives, which suggests there are people who are still being held captive. They're in distress. We need them back. And that phrase in verse 4, as the streams in the south is bone dry. It is desert. It's almost uninhabitable. But when it does rain, and it does rarely, but occasionally, the rains come and those dry wadis fill with water, and you get this gush of water in a dry stream bed that may have been dry for 20 years, and this sweep of water. So the prayer is, God, bring back our captives. Give us back our captives and make it flow as though it was the gushing streams in the south. So let's keep going on. Verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This psalm focuses on remembering the great things God has done, and while beset with trials, we can look forward to God's redemption as it was outlined here. And before we leave this worldly society, we can remember the joys of feasts past and look forward to the blessings God can bring us in the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles. Psalm 127. We're in our third group, second in the grouping, where the theme of trust should come through. When the Lord, I'm still reading from 126, but it's 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. This psalm is a reminder that without God, we really can't do anything. You want to build a house? Unless the Lord helps you build it, you're building in vain. But with God, we can prevail. So we look forward in trust that God will help us in our endeavors and will get us to our Feast of Tabernacles, where the blessing and value of family is certainly emphasized. Psalm 128, it is the third psalm in the third group. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This psalm focuses on the blessings of fearing God. And when we're at the Feast of Tabernacles, it's like being at Zion, being at Jerusalem, as we see in verse 5. We enjoy the blessings of ample food. As verse 2 points out, you will eat the labor of your hands, and you will enjoy the blessings of family. Now, for one opportunity, we're going to leave the Psalms, so mark your place in the Psalms. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 26. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 26. Because twice in the past couple of songs, There's been a stress on the value and the blessing of family. Now, it may seem a little odd because we're starting off talking about the tithe. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That's the why we do that. But if the journey's too long for you so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. And that's what we do with our second tithe. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine or similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. The blessing of family. Enjoy your household while you're at the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go back to the Psalms. We're now ready to begin group number four, the fourth group. We're up to Psalm 129, where the theme of distress will rise once again. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. It's repeated. When things get repeated, it's for emphasis in Hebrew. This is really emphasizing the affliction of the people. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plow on my back. They've made their furrows long. That's kind of a scary mental view, a vision of people plowing along your back and making big, deep gouges in your back. Are you afflicted? Yeah, that would be affliction. That's how it feels. But the Lord is righteous in verse 4. He has cut in pieces the cord of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, and which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. So here in Psalm 129, it's a cry for help from people who are beset by oppression. Do you ever feel oppressed by the world? In the direction that things are going now in our society, and not just here in this nation, but in nations around the world, society is getting worse and worse. This is a prayer for seeking God's intervention and protection from those who hate his ways. We're stuck in this world. We haven't yet left this world for a different world, but we will be shortly. Our next psalm, Psalm number 130, we're in the fourth group, the second psalm in the group. Number 130, where the theme should be trust. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. Theme of trust. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is abundant redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So in Psalm 130, the theme of waiting for the redemption of God appears several times. Our hope is in him. We wait for his redemption, as verse 6 pointed out, and we trust that he will extend mercy and redeem his people, as we see in verse 7. Psalm 131, the third psalm in group 4. This one's a relatively short one. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. This psalm tells us about a simple trust in God. Like the setting that we experience at the Feast of Tabernacles, where there's peace among brethren, we become calmed. We become de-stressed from all the hubbub and the insanity of daily life in the world. We leave some of that behind. We don't watch the news as much. We don't focus on those things. We focus on learning God's ways and His Word, and we become at peace, as verses 1 and 2 point out to us. I have calmed my soul. Now to the fifth group, Psalm 132. This should raise again the theme of distress. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Yeah, David had afflictions. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Well, this is obviously referring back to the time when there was a tabernacle, but David was seeing the need to have a permanent place for God's holy things, the Ark of the Covenant, all of the things that went with it, all of the holy implements that were used in the tabernacle, needed a permanent place, not a temporary tent. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. You'll notice most versions will have your anointed in initial caps. And that's beginning to refer now to the Messiah, who was prophesied to come from the line of David. Verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. So David wanted a permanent location. God said, here's the location I want. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread, meaning there's going to be enough to eat. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. So Psalm 132 shows a longing for the place where God will dwell. It starts off with a reminder of David's afflictions, all of the trials and troubles he went through. And it's a reminder of our destination, Jerusalem, a place God selected, a place where God has placed his name. And for us, our Jerusalem is wherever we're going to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's where the place God has set his name for us in this period of time. There's a longing in this psalm for restored righteous worship, verses 7 through 9 point out. Let us go into his tabernacle. Your priests be clothed with righteousness. The psalm talks of a longing for the joy and prosperity that will come from God's presence and for the fulfillment promised to David's seed, the Messiah, on the throne at Jerusalem, something we look forward to. Psalm 133 is the second in psalm in group, the fifth group, where the theme of trust arises. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So this psalm points out the trust we can have in the blessings and the unity of peace that will come. And it will come to us at the Feast of Tabernacles. And then it throws in verse 3, the real kicker, trust in the promise of eternal life. Psalm 134, which is the third psalm in the fifth group. Theme of deliverance, blessing, and peace. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. In the sanctuary. That's the destination. At the Feast of Tabernacles, we will have a parallel to the Jews and the ancient Israelites traveling up to Jerusalem to be at God's temple, near his sanctuary. When you're at the Feast of Tabernacles, you've made it for this Feast of Tabernacles. And God will bless us from his throne. So, we've gone through, we've looked at these psalms, and we see how the songs of ascents can be used to help us prepare mentally and spiritually for the feast. Now here's the bad news, because this is your homework assignment during the Feast of Tabernacles. I would suggest you take some time to review these psalms while you're at the feast and follow the pattern that we saw here. Groupings of three psalms with repeating themes of distress, trust in God, and deliverance, blessings, and peace.